Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, the 11th of April, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hey, pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you as always. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Howdy. It is a pleasure for John to be here.
I assume we have that from a source familiar with the matter. That's awesome.
Yes.
All right. John and I today are going to do a little celebration dance right here, because that's an excellent podcast, people dancing. We want to talk a little bit about the possibility that I might get my way. And I know John is right in line behind me with this, which is really, really disliking the current state of iTunes and all that entails. And what I don't like is the all that that entails. So, John, tell us a little bit about this.
I came across it yesterday. It was published very early in the morning by Jeremy Rimbaud at 9to5Mac. And he pointed out that developer Steve Troughton Smith had expressed some confidence from what he's seen in code about Apple working on new music podcast and perhaps even a new version of Books app, all driven by Marzipan. Mm-hmm. And that the breakup of iTunes on the Mac may be upon us at WWDC.
That just sounds like my actual dream come true. Longtime listeners will remember that I said that my fondest wish at an Apple event is that Tim comes out with a whole bunch of paper and says, this is the source code to iTunes. And then he turns to his left and feeds it to a wood chipper. And we get something brand new. And
Wait, hold on. Paper? Let me at least put it on a CD or something.
That's really bad to put in a wood chipper. That's the only reason I thought it was paper.
I was reminiscing about Margaret Hamilton and the Apollo source code that was 5 feet high.
Yes.
And I know that I'm missing the point. It's just, you know, paper? Come on. Anyway,
well,
please go ahead.
For dramatic effect, and I know they won't because they're a very environmental company these days, but it would do my heart good. My second favorite thing is that everybody would stand up when their watches go off in the middle of an event, but that's also just something I really want.
Well, now that we know about Marzipan, mm-hmm. it occurred to me that it could be that maybe Apple had Marzipan or something like it on the roadmap a few years ago, because mm-hmm. you wrote your article in 2015, mm-hmm. and we've been waiting painfully over the years, pleading with Apple to do something about iTunes, mm-hmm. and this could go a long way towards explaining why iTunes didn't get mm-hmm. code refactored.
Well, and it would make it the centerpiece of Marzipan's actual release, because last year we sort of got news. And in the announcement, but sitting there in the room listening to Tim give that address last year and start talking about Marzipan, that was the first thing I thought of was, does this mean that it would be a much smaller rebuilding, refactoring, re-whatevering project to bring the current state of iTunes on iOS to the Mac, which would be to give it different things. And the only thing that worries me about that is that I wonder what will happen to the iPhone/iPod management piece of iTunes, because you don't have that on iOS devices, obviously. So my hope is that we get something like we have with Image Capture Now, just for I want to put a backup on my phone, just so that there's something that comes with the OS. Yes, there are other alternatives to using iTunes to back up your device to your computer. There are a number of those out there and available, but it would really be great if Apple would just give everybody one so that they have that opportunity if that's what they want to do.
I don't think backup and syncing and updating of your iOS device is going to go away, but one of my readers in the article yesterday made a really good point. He said, consider what happened to iPhoto, Disk Utility, and Mac OS X Server. Just to name a few examples of when Apple rewrites an app, the first version is typically missing something that you liked.
Well, yes, or a bunch of really, somethings.
It's really dumbed down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So,
but Apple's been dumbing down stuff on the Mac for years now.
Ages and ages.
The ability to securely back up your phone or your iPad to an encrypted file, it seems like, and to sync it, doesn't seem like it's a candidate to go away. I mean, I think if you strip out a lot from iTunes and put it into the standalone apps, you have to be careful about how far you go. And it's a complex operation to start stripping out code and keeping the whole thing working.
Well, why not just give us a...
The less you strip out, the better, the safer it is.
Why not just give us a device management app?
Mm-hmm. I'd be very happy with that.
I'd be extremely happy with that. John, I'm not... Honestly, I'm not convinced at all that Apple won't just decide that from now on we shall back up to iCloud the end.
Ooh, I would be annoyed.
Yes, of course. Just like,
well, considering that they're still charging what they're charging for additional iCloud storage.
I would bring out my pen of fire.
Well, you know, maybe they could like, you know, double storage or something. I don't know.
Ooh, 10 gig.
I'm not at all convinced that they won't take that power away from us on our Mac, that they're going to want us to be managing our freaking iOS devices from the iOS device, and we shall like it.
Except that, number one, encrypted backups are sometimes a requirement in some situations, depending on like what sort of security there is around the device and around the files and stuff. So I feel like that's probably one reason why that wouldn't go away. And Apple Configurator, for people who do this by the bunch, people like me, who sometimes have to manage a whole stack of devices at a time, I think is going to make that something that still needs to happen in some capacity. I don't think everybody's going to go download and install Configurator and go learn how to use it in order to back up their device. But
there's still people in rural areas, too, that are living at 1 and 2 megabits per second who don't want to do iCloud backups.
Right. I think, you know, until there's a fundamental shift in internet access and internet pricing for that access, I don't think that that's a likely thing. But given how hard Apple hits security, taking away encrypted backups seems like a terrible, terrible move.
All fair points, and I hope that you were right. I definitely, at this point, tend towards the cynical when it comes to Mac features.
Yes.
And my expectations, unfortunately.
Yes. I hope that this is what happens. I do not expect it, but it is my hope that this is something that gets approached in a reasonable fashion, especially if they're going to make this fundamental change where you just go to iTunes for everything. And what my secret bonus hope out of this is that whatever device is the thing that gets used for management will also adjust the urgency and possibly the wording of the warnings when something's going wrong, because I've fielded more than one phone call from family members who had something on their screen that sounded really serious that actually wasn't, and then, you know, did whatever the not looking so serious warning said, and now like flatlined their phone or whatever. So I'm hopeful that something like that will happen, because backing up my iPad is not something I'm going to do on iCloud storage. It's just not. And it's a size thing. It's the amount of storage. I have a 64 gigabyte iPad, and I'm not going to buy that much storage from iCloud, and B, I'm not going to spend the rest of my life waiting for it to continue to back up to iCloud.
Matters.
So, here's the thing about the I don't know where to go with that, Brian. Here's the thing about it that is interesting to me is that I hope this happens because it's time, and I hope that this is the hook that they use to make Marzipan's grand official debut and, you know, everyone can use it or whatever. But I'm also interested in what, you know, so, you know, having talked a little bit about what we want out of the future of iTunes, let's talk a little bit about what we want for the future of macOS. macOS itself. There's a new video out from a designer who talked about what he want, like a possible reimagining of the macOS desktop. What do you think, Brian?
It's one of the most poorly imagined. It's a terrible idea. all apps full screen. Screw that. Are you freaking kidding me? But then it's really cool because you've got a big screen, you have a tiny app in the middle of your screen. And then the apps all, it's like that was one of the worst imaginings of a desktop OS that I've ever seen. It makes most versions of Windows look genius in comparison.
I'm right there with you, Brian. I thought it was terrible. I thought the person didn't have an understanding of the legacy of the Mac, that it was too iPad oriented.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was very mobile oriented.
If you were going to make a concerted effort to merge Mac OS and iOS, maybe that's what it would kind of look like. But
yeah, if you really wanted to make multitasking as worthless as possible in service of the supremacy of iOS, then I guess it's a fantastic idea.
So, yeah, Mac OS has been around for a long time, since March of 2001. So it's,
well, Mac OS 10. Mac OS has been around for hundreds of years.
I left off the 10. Yeah, Mac OS 10. So yeah, and Mac OS since 1984. So it's got a long legacy, and it exists the way it exists for a reason. Mm-hmm. And at this late stage in its evolution, one has to ponder whether it's better to let it run the table or make a dramatic shift, and this video ain't it.
Well, the thing I noticed about this video is that the whole thing talks about being a Mac, and the video is rendered with a little outline of a laptop around it, or an outline of an iMac monitor around it. And it takes, I think, halfway through the video before he says something like, mouse users can also, which was the part that made me go, This is that thing that Windows did with like Windows 8 or whatever, where we want to run the same operating system on all our hardware, but it makes it kind of janky on all of them because half the interactions aren't meant for the hardware that you're using. And so to me, it mostly just looked frustrating. Like I looked at it and went, for me, this would not work. And it would not work for me because I use lots of apps all the time.
I know that there are lots of people who make their apps full screen. Mm-hmm. And bless their hearts.
Well, good for them. If that works for you, that's awesome. If that's how you get your work done and you're effective that way, great. I'm not.
Having everything be either full screen or tiny in the middle screen is just... And it seemed like the designer's goal here was to essentially remove choice and control from the user. Mm-hmm. Users have way too much control over exactly what they want to do with their apps and where they want to put them. Mm-hmm. So let's get rid of that and solve that problem real quick. So anyway, all that said, you know, someone came up with an idea, right?
Yes.
It's creative. It's different. You know, it's definitely thinking differently. And again, bless their heart, more power to them. They made something. That's great.
I would like that if that were a space. I think if I had an option to run things that way, and maybe there's two apps I use together all the time, and I could have it set up so that I swapped to that space and I got that way, but that wasn't how my computer operated 100% of the time, that might be okay. Like, that was the thing I saw, and that was like, if this were an option I could put on once in a while, but not 100% of the time.
I think it'd be much more interesting to talk about where we'd like macOS to go instead.
Yes. Let's.
John?
I think it's perfect the way it is.
What?
Mojave.
It's been just...
No.
There's nothing more I need... I'm productive. Mojave's made some important improvements, and I'm sure there will be some minor adjustments and improvements.
How about the negative side effects of sandboxing? How about the removal of profit?
No, we don't want to do that.
Well, but that's where we are. So that macOS is perfect today ignores the fact that it's missing a lot of features that we used to use.
A lot.
Well, I'm willing to accept that for the sake of security. And BBEdit, it's back in the Mac App Store, which shows that Apple's being helpful to developers.
To some developers.
Yeah, where's Audio Hijack in the App Store?
if, yeah.
Right?
And where well, some apps just go too far, and those apps that
no.
make adjustments.
Don't give me that, because no. Audio Hijack is useful. Don't tell me that that app goes too far. That app does not go too far.
No. I mean, too far in digging into the internals.
Well, no, exactly. Don't tell me that, because I need what Audio Hijack does. So Audio Hijack is not going too far. Apple is going too far in not accommodating things like that that are needed.
Error.
Run. No.
Security's going to get more and more in macOS 10.15.
Okay. While, yes, security is important, John, there is a huge difference between security and access.
I
want access to what Audio Hijack gives me. I want access to what I get from these other from other applications that I am able to install.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What if you can buy Audio Hijack from Rogue Amoeba and use it effectively, and Apple allows it to operate and run and be a useful tool? Complaining about it not being in the Mac App Store seems a little bit.
I'm complaining about the fact that Apple relegates it away from the Mac store, the Mac App Store.
That's a helpful compromise. You're going to have really good security, and you're going to draw the line in the sand and say, you know, that we're going to do this. We think we need to do for security. And if you can't live with that, then you're welcome to sell the app directly to the customer. We won't stop
how.
You. From
how?
Building the app and running it, it just doesn't meet the standards for the Mac App Store.
Okay, but I am a person who is a very technical audio person, and I go to the Mac App Store to find a technical audio application, and it's not there. How do I even know where to look for it if it's not in the App Store, if I'm not a proficient technical Mac user? If I'm just an audio person, and we all know these people who know everything there is to know about topic, whatever the topic might be, but may not know like spring-loaded folders or any, you know, like basic macOS operation stuff that to us is sort of every day. There are lots and lots of people out there who go, well, if it's not in the Mac App Store, I don't know, like, what do I do? And that's the problem, because...
No, I don't think that's a problem.
Apple handed...
Excuse.
Well, okay, it's not my fault. You're wrong. Okay?
You're wrong, Kelly.
So... Now here's the thing, is that I'm not convinced, given what I know of Audio Hijack and given what I know of sandboxing, I'm not convinced that Audio Hijack, hi Paul, is doing anything that's making my system inherently less secure. Now, when I do stuff with my computer where I have to restart and disable system integrity protection, do the thing I need to do and then go turn it on again, yes, I understand that I am taking my Mac into my hands when I do that. But I don't think recording audio on my computer is something that is bad or that should be frowned upon. And the kind of access that Audio Hijack has is not bad.
We're not developers, and we're not Apple software system engineers. And so we can't speak authoritatively about the technical.
I said based on what I know.
We can talk very authoritatively about what we want. And what I want is the ability for apps to be able to do things like what Audio Hijack does.
Yes.
And I don't think that the developer should have to be bending over backwards to.
I don't think you can say that, Brian, because
if Apple
sets standards for security in the system, it's going to have an impact on certain developers in certain ways. And how that plays out requires an hour-long discussion with a developer like Paul Kafatis and get his side of the story.
Well, I look forward to your background.
I was just going to say, email Paul right now.
I already did that.
So here's the thing, though, John, is it sounds like while I understand that one of the things that sandboxing is supposed to do is make the system more secure, I don't think you can blanket everything with, of course, Apple has to do this because it's in the name of security, because that's like saying they actually took the headphone jack out and it was actually because of courage. Like, no, just no, 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 no.
Yes.
Yeah,
no,
I don't mind.
They did it because when I open the entire internet in tabs in Chrome and Chrome has a seizure and falls over, it doesn't take the rest of my computer with it. That's a good thing. That doesn't have anything to do with security. That has to do with limiting the amount of damage something else can do.
Yes. No, the sandboxing is also about security. It's to keep also, one app from stealing data from another app.
Correct. It is part. It is not everything. That's what I'm saying. It's so that when Chrome tips over, it doesn't have, it doesn't cause macOS to have a kernel panic. That's good, and I'm glad for that.
I am not against sandboxing.
Me either.
I am against putting security features in place that make my device less usable, and then not providing developers with the proper tools to be able to get around those security features when it is appropriate and necessary. And I would say that an app like Audio Hijack is entirely appropriate and necessary.
We're never going back, Brian. We're never going back to the days of Snow Leopard.
Why are you
doing that? We're never going back to this.
Why are you being such an apologist, man?
Simple, carefree days of a pure Unix operating system, BSD, you know, 100%.
I didn't say I wanted BSD. To. I just want an option. Well, I just want there to be a...
You do have an option. Go to Rogue Amoeba and buy it.
Okay, but do you understand how that kneecaps developers when their stuff isn't available in the App Store? That's the thing. Lots of people just go when you buy Apple software.
Apple has made concessions where possible for BB Edit, but
and how many years
there are going to be? There are going to be exceptions where it's not possible.
But how many years was that? And we've had BB Edit longer than we've had macOS 10. I know because my T-shirt from BB Edit is older than macOS 10.
My early Macs, yeah.
Yeah. So Quadra. If you were not, so see, here's the thing: BB Edit has a pedigree and a lineage and a long and storied history. And Rich is fantastic. Rich is a great guy. I adore BB Edit. I adore Rich. But if you're not Rich Siegel, how do you get in the App Store if you have an app that Apple frowns on how it's doing what it's doing for whatever reason? Or you don't like whatever it is that the App Store makes your app do for whatever reason. How do you get in?
The apps that were born in the simpler time. And they've had to migrate into the future and make adjustments to the modern security threats, just like Apple has. Mm-hmm. We can't go back in time. It's a Pollyanna wish.
But I'm not trying to go back in time.
Well, yeah, you guys are. Yes, you are.
Because no, taking away a feature.
Basically, your argument is saying that security is getting in my way.
No, I'm saying implementation of security is getting in my way. I want a secure system. I have a secure system. I take measures to make sure that my hardware and my software is secure. Is
when good security gets in your way, you want to get rid of it because it interferes with your ability to find stuff in the Mac App Store.
What I'm saying is it's not all security.
That's wrong.
It's not all about security. That's what I'm saying. Apple is putting the bumpers down on the sides of the lane for me, and I don't always need them. And sometimes those bumpers are so big, they're creeping out into the lane, and then how am I supposed to roll?
It's going to get worse. There are the emerging security threats that are going to create more headaches for us in the future, and we can't go back to the carefree days of having everything the way we like it.
I don't want a carefree day. I want a choice to adjust things to my liking.
The good news here is that there will be plenty of things for us to argue about. I know we have to be over time. John, I philosophically entirely and completely disagree with your approach to this. And I'm assuming you obviously philosophically disagree with my approach to this.
I respect your right to have it, even though you're wrong.
And Brian could say the same.
back at me, Brian.
Sure.
Go ahead. I'm on.
Sure. Anyway, yeah.
Well, I'm glad we're all still friends at the end of this.
Of course.
But yeah, it's not my fault. John's wrong either. I look forward to your letters. In fact,
I love to hear what people think.
Yes, I want to hear what people want out of macOS 10. I want to find out if this is something that gets in your way, if it's hindering some of your workflow in a particular fashion. If you too are a fan of Audio Hijack, let us know. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter. You can email observations@macobserver.com, or you can leave comments on the show notes. And it's been a really great discussion. And I hope that when we get more stuff in June to talk about, that we will talk about it. So until then, I hope to talk to all of you later. John, thanks for coming by today.
My pleasure, I think.
Brian, thanks for joining me today.
Indeed. Thanks for having us.
It was really nice to have you both here. I've been your host, Kelly Gamott. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.